Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Deep Dive in All Field podcast. My name is Jack. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at MLB Nerds. I'm here with my co-host, Ryan. You can find him on Twitter at RyanGarciaESM. And James, you can find him on Twitter at James Valentinez. Today's podcast, we're going to be going over our consensus top 10 catchers list. This is a little bit different than we did last year. We have a list of 10 guys that we agreed on as a list cumulatively. They are slightly different than our own personal ones. So you'll see a couple different changes, but this was like the overall consensus that we came to, and we'll talk about each position. If you're new, make sure to give us 5-star on whatever platform you're listening to. And yeah, let's get into it here. We'll start with number 10. That's going to be catcher from the Texas Rangers, Jonah Heim. Now, Jonah Heim was fantastic last season, about a league average hitter, played great defense. He cooled off a little bit at the end of the season, started off really strong. Definitely a guy I was high on coming into the season relative to consensus. He definitely proved me right. Ryan, what do you have to say about Jonah Heim from his 2022 performance and also his 2023 outlook? Because these are predictions for like the 2023 season. Like this will be the list of how these guys will perform in 2023.
Yeah, so, you know, Jonah Heim is one of those guys where you look at the raw power tool. I mean, 112.4 max exit velocity, that's definitely going to stand out. Obviously, remarkable defender. You know, he makes a lot of contact. He has a decent walk rate. You kind of feel like the tools would suggest a little bit better than a 99 WRC plus, and projections kind of view him as someone who's going to continue to be roughly league average offensively. You know, I'm not sure exactly how he'll react to no shift. I know that the limited shift or changing shift rules really haven't had a massive effect in the minor leagues, but even a couple of points to your batting average here or there can go a long way in terms of, you know, where you rank as a catcher, where you stand, especially considering the volatility of offense at the position. He's one of those guys where he's such a good defender that, you know, getting anything close to league average offense is going to consistently make him one of the better catchers in baseball. I think this was a massive win for Texas to kind of identify that and make him the primary catcher. So I'm very excited for what he could do next year. I think he can definitely be one of those guys that moves up this list in the foreseeable future.
I agree. James, what do you have to say on Jonah Heim?
I mean, Jonah Heim was a guy that I thought last year you guys specifically were really high on. And not deservedly so. Last year had a great year. Always a great defender. Last year he kind of put it together with a bat. I don't see him ever becoming, you know, much better than a league average hitter, but, you know, that's kind of all you're asking for him. And, you know, he's a top 10 catcher. His team's going to be better next year. Maybe he'll get a little more respect than he's been getting over the last couple of years. Because I still think to the casual baseball fan, Jonah Heim is a nobody. And maybe that could change this year.
Definitely could. I definitely agree with you. All right, let's move on to number 9. We have newly acquired St. Louis Cardinals catcher Wilson Contreras. Now, obviously, Contreras has played 7 seasons with the Cubs before signing a free agent deal with the Cardinals. He played really well last year. Hit a 3.3 F4 in 487 plate appearances, 132 WRC plus. You know what you're gonna get with Contreras. He's not gonna play good defense, but he'll give you a good bat. You know, if the electronic strike zone comes into play in the next couple of years, he's got a really good arm. So I think his defensive value will definitely be really well, really good. I would say the public kind of overrates Contreras due to his bat. You know, ultimately, when you're looking at a catcher, defense matters a lot. And I think to kind of discount that just because the position kind of lacks overall offensive ability is kind of a mistake. I know some people did that with Salvador Perez last season. Obviously, it didn't go very well for him this season. Though I do think Contreras is really solid. Last year, like I said, 132 WRC plus. Seamer projection to have around 119 WRC plus. I think that's about realistic for what he can do this season, playing a new ballpark and whatnot. Ryan, what do you think about Contreras' outlook for the 2023 season? And do you think the Cardinals gave him a good deal? Do you think 5 for, I think it was $80 million, I think it was a good deal?
Yeah, so I'm fine with the deal that he got. Ultimately, I think you look at Wilson Contreras, and as you mentioned, the bat is really, really good. You know, just from a raw power output, you know, I mentioned max exit velocity for Jonah Heim, but we're talking about a catcher with a 116.2 max exit velocity. A player with a 116.2 max exit velocity on its own is already ridiculously impressive. And quite frankly, you know, the Cardinals are a really good organization to go to for maximizing power. You know, one of the things that really stands out about Contreras is the fact that he's able to play a lot more than most catchers can. You know, I know that a lot of that's going to come from maybe playing a little more DH as the years go by. But, you know, if you're looking at certain projections, like if you like the bat X, you know, that's from Derek Cardi, you know, a 133 WRC plus for his projection. I mean, that's really damn good. You know, I know you mentioned Salvador Perez. The way I view it is Wilson Contreras is kind of what people should have viewed Salvador Perez. Salvador Perez is what people should have viewed Wilson Contreras as, which is, you know, he is such a good hitter that even despite the defense, he is a top 10 catcher. You know, I don't think that he's necessarily a top five or one of the, you know, the best catchers in baseball, but he's certainly top 10. He's certainly someone whose bat can get him to that point, even with lackluster framing.
James, what do you think?
I think, so I, first of all, I have Contreras ranked higher than you guys do. I had him at number 7, but, you know, there's something to be said about having a bat at the catcher position. It's kind of rare. Right. And I mean, you look at the last couple of years, there's only 3 catchers who had a higher F4 than Contreras over the last 2 years. Obviously, part of that is just because he plays more, which, not to take anything away from him, because that is a strength for sure. I think the, you know, the base running is awful. The defense is not great. But having that bat in your lineup is definitely a plus, especially for a team like St. Louis. And I think it's a huge addition for them, despite the fact that I may not think he's as good of a catcher as, you know, the general consensus does.
I agree. All right, let's move on to number 8 here. We have Danny Jansen of the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, Jansen, you know, albeit due to injuries, he was really good last season. He did only have 248 plate appearances, but in those 248 plate appearances, he was fantastic. He hit for a 140 WRC plus, ended up with a 2.6 F4. Obviously, you know, you're going to get with Jansen. He's going to hit the ball hard. He also plays really, really good defense. We've kind of been waiting for this breakout for a while. I think 2018, he showed some really good signs in a small sample size, but it was not good from 2019, 2020. 2021, he was about a league average hitter, but this year he really turned it up. And I don't see a reason why he would regress that hard for 2023. I mean, I think he's a really good player, and maybe he's not going to be 140 WRC plus hitter, but I think if he's in that 120 range, he's going to be, you know, at least a top 8-7 catcher. Obviously, the thing with Jansen is he's going to be playing behind Alejandro Kirk to a certain extent. Obviously, they did trade Gabriel Moreno for Dalton Varsho, so they did move off one catcher, but they still do have Kirk. I would imagine Jansen gets the majority of the reps behind the plate, and you get Kirk DHing for the most part, and they kind of alternate. I think it'll kind of be interesting to see, especially where his defensive value is at the end of the season. Ryan, what do you think about Jansen's 2023 outlook, and do you think 2022 is at all sustainable?
Yeah, so I look at 2022 as kind of like, as you mentioned, kind of putting it all together offensively, right? Now it's a matter of, can he put it together offensively and defensively and keep a reasonable bill of health? Like, I don't think you're asking Danny Jansen to play 150 games, right? You're not asking any catcher really to play that many games. If he gives you 110, 120 games, you know, with above average defense, and then, like, as you mentioned, a WRC plus the 120s, like, we're going to be talking about a catcher who flies up this board next year, right? Ultimately, you know, the only reason Danny Jansen wasn't considered, you know, one of the best catchers in baseball last year was because he didn't play a lot. You know, he played under 80 games last year. That's really it, right? That's what it boils down to. And we're talking about a player who's just, you know, needs to figure out a way to stay on the field more. I think any given year, that's a player that can go out and have an all-star caliber year and really move up these lists. So, you know, I mentioned this with Jonah Heim. I think Danny Jansen is another one of those guys where any given year he can go out and really, you know, push his name up those leaderboards. He's going to enter his age 28 season. This is definitely not, you know, and, you know, the downside of his peak or anything like that. These are definitely within the range of years where you're looking for, you know, those best years of his career. And 2023, I have a weird feeling, could be that year.
And James, what do you think about Jansen for 2023?
Jansen had a great year last year. I mean, just to get that out of the way, he had 140 WRC plus, and you don't see that from a catcher. You know, he projects much lower than that, around 120. Great hitter, good defender. You know, he's a good catcher. And I think if he can continue to keep up what he's done the last couple years with his bat compared to the, you know, first few years of his career, then he can definitely establish himself as one of the better catchers in the league. But it's also tough, you know, being on that Toronto team with another great catcher in Alejandro Kirk, which we'll get to later, obviously. You know, there's, you know, it's not the best spot to be in. I wouldn't mind to see him getting traded at some point, but I think that, you know, we kind of know what he is as a catcher and what he'll bring to the table next year.
I agree. All right, let's move on to number seven here. We have New York Yankees catcher Jose Trevino. Now, Trevino was fantastic in 2022. His bat really, really did cool off after the All-Star break, but he still finished with a 3.7 F4, even while sustaining a 91 WRC plus. And why is that? Because his defense. He is the best defensive catcher in the league by a very decent margin, I would say. He's kind of the new Austin Hedges from a few years ago, if you remember that. Overall, 29 defensive value according to Fangraphs, which, you know, positional adjustment included. He was so good behind the plate for the Yankees. You know, one of the reasons why the pitching staff was so good. And if he's going to sustain, according to Steamer, he's going to be around that same 90 WRC plus. They have him at 89. He was 91 last year. If he's right about 10% below league average, that's about a little bit, I think, 2% above average for the catcher. And he's playing that kind of defense. Like, he's going to be this top seven range in terms of F4. Obviously, with Trevino, it's going to hurt for Trevino if the electronic strike zone is implemented, because then, you know, he kind of loses his primary value. But as of this point, he is fantastic behind the plate. He's the best catcher in baseball defensively for sure. And the Yankees are going to expect probably another, you know, 3-win season at Trevino for the season. So, Ryan, what do you think about Trevino's outlook for 2023? And do you think maybe that bat from the first half can it all come alive for 2023?
Yeah, so for me, it really just boils down to his ability to hit for a little more power. You know, if you look at the 2021 versus 2022 splits, he really started lifting the ball a lot more last year. And I think that contributed to what was a career best year in terms of sustaining power. 11 home runs in 115 games, I think, definitely stands out from his career trends of the past. If you look at his raw power, he does have a 109.4 max exit velocity. So it's definitely not terrible. I don't think it's impossible to say that he can go on and hit, you know, 10 home runs, have an isolated power around 130, 140. And I think that will carry his bat to around that 85 to 90 WRC plus. And as you mentioned, he is the best defensive catcher in baseball. He's the best defender at the most important defensive position. And he's around a league average hitter in comparison to the rest of the players at his position, which makes you a top 10 catcher, right? I think if you were to say for shortstop, you would take a league average bat from the shortstop position relative to his peers, and then and made him the best defender, he would be instantly a top 10 shortstop. You mentioned Austin Hedges. I think Andrelton Simmons might be a better comparison here if we look at, you know, kind of his best years and kind of where he ranked among shortstops, where he was really just pushing incredible WAR totals. I do think Trevino kind of can do that for 2023. Now, I don't know how long he can continue doing it for, just because he's entering his age 30 season, and, you know, the Yankees do have guys like Austin Wells coming up, and as you mentioned, there's going to be some changes, whether it's the ABS system or challenge just into the regular strike zone. I wonder how that'll affect his value going forward, but at least for 2023, I'm pretty confident Trevino remains a top 10 catcher in the league.
And James, what do you think about Jose Trevino for the 2023 season?
I mean, like, I admittedly did not put him as high as you guys did. Actually, I did put him at 8. I think Trevino, what I'm worried about is that his bat has never been this good. You know, 91 WRC plus he ended the year with, but he was, I think, for the first half, one of the best offensive catchers in the league. That's not going to happen. I don't even know if he'll live up to this 89 WRC plus projection, but at the same time, I don't know if it matters. He's so good defensively that you can kind of eat the bad offense, especially in a lineup like New York's, which I know doesn't really play into the ranking, but yeah, I think Trevino is kind of like this new age catcher, but where, you know, he's kind of focused more on framing than hitting or anything else, really. But I'm worried that within the next couple of years, he's really going to have a steep drop off offensively from last year.
All right, let's move on to number six here. We have Seattle Mariners catcher Cal Raleigh. Now, Raleigh was fantastic last season. With the bat, he was really good, 121 WRC plus. Overall, defensively, he was really good, ended up with a 4.2 F4. Though with Raleigh, you know, what you're going to get with him that you wouldn't get with other guys is probably more sustainable offense. He's going to hit a lot of home runs. He's not going to hit for a high average. He walks about league average amount, maybe slightly above. But Seamer has him at a 113 WRC plus for next season. I would even be more aggressive with that probably just because of his raw power ability. And his defense, you know you're gonna get with Raleigh. He's gonna, like I said, strike out a lot, hit a lot of home runs, hit for a low average. But you know, to be a 4-win player in only 119 games, 4.2 to be exact, means quite a bit. And I think for Seattle, they'll be expecting something around, you know, along those lines as well. And we have him here at number six. I personally had him at number six as well. Ryan, what do you think about Raleigh going forward for 2023? And do you think he can repeat his offensive success for 2023 that he had in 2022?
Yeah, so, you know, Kyle Raleigh was an absolute success for projections people. He was one of those guys that, just like Jonah Heim, kind of like, you know, he was a poor hitting catcher in 2021, projected pretty well for 2022, and lived up to those expectations. Actually, you know what I'll say for Raleigh? He exceeded those expectations. As you mentioned, he's a big home run guy. He has a very high fly ball rate, 55.7%. And that's, as you mentioned, going to lead to a low average, a low BABIP, but you're fine with that because isolated power of 278, slugging 489. The defense is not just good, it's elite. You know, he's one of the best defensive catchers in baseball. And the same way I kind of mentioned with Trevino, where it's like, we're taking the best defender in baseball and, you know, a league average hitter, like, how can you not rank him as one of the best catchers in baseball? Kyle Raleigh is one of the best defensive players in baseball, flat out one of the best defensive players in baseball. And he's also one of the better home run hitters in the sport. And arguably, I mean, you could argue top three or four at the position offensively. Maybe I'm not thinking of enough guys, but he's really, really good entering the prime of his career. Just all around a really good catcher. And the reason he's six and not higher on this list has more to do with the talent at the catcher position, not so much him not being that good, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree. I see what you're saying. James, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I ranked Raleigh a spot higher than you guys. I think when you kind of look at what he is as a catcher, he's an elite defender and he has a better bat than almost anyone at the position. I really think, you know, outside of Adley and maybe Real Muto, I think he has a, you know, a good shot to be the second best catcher, maybe third, because I just named two in the league next year. You know, I think the 113 steamer WRC plus is a little low. I wouldn't be shocked if he's up at 120 like he was last year. He's gonna hit a lot of home runs. It's kind of what he does. Never going to hit for average, but that huge slugging percentage, like Ryan was saying, is going to carry his offensive load. And I think that's fine. I think it's a good fit for the Mariners lineup. And I think he is becoming quickly one of the best catchers in the league.
All right. Coming at number five, we have another Toronto Blue Jay on this list who I had previously mentioned on this list, Alejandro Kirk. Kirk was a guy who, you know, good prospect in terms of hitting wise, but and he burst on the season 2020. In 2020, he had a really good season. Definitely a down year in 2021, but he came right back in 2022 to a really, really good season. The hitting is always there. I think we kind of knew that. 129 WRC plus, but really what took a big step forward was the defense. Played really solid defense behind the plate. Definitely not elite, but he's definitely not bad by any means. You know, he used to be a liability. At this point, he's probably, you know, slightly above average. Ended up with a 3.8 F4, and Steamer really likes him. They really, really like him. They have him at a 141 WRC plus, 4.5 F4 for next season. Now, I personally wouldn't go that high for Alejandro Kirk, but I think he's really, really good. He's a talented hitter. He doesn't strike out at all. His power, obviously, some left to be desired for, but his play discipline's really good. Gap to gap kind of hitter. Not a great base runner, obviously, but you kind of know what you're going to get with Kirk. Ryan, what do you think about Kirk's you know, overall outlook, you know, both defensively, offensively? Do you think his defense is sustainable into the next season? And do you think he'll end up top five in this list again next season?
Yeah, so Alejandro Kirk is one of those guys where, as you mentioned, you know, the defense took a big step forward. You know, I think he's able to sustain being a really good defender. And if you look at just from a, you know, just a perspective of how of his raw tools, there's not really anything he does poorly. He doesn't whiff at all, 94th percentile in whiff rate. Doesn't chase, 80th percentile in whiff and chase rate. You know, in terms of hard hit rates, he's able to hit the ball consistently hard. It's really just a matter of barreling up the ball a little bit more, you know, getting more baseballs in the air. And as you mentioned, hitting for a little more home run power. You know, I think it's definitely possible, especially since Toronto's going to be moving their fences in a little bit next year. So we could see some more home some more explosive home run power. As you mentioned, I mean, it's rare you see a guy with such good raw power strike out less than they walk. I imagine that that plays a little bit into the heavy ground ball approach. It's obviously easier to make contact, especially hard contact, when you're hitting the ball straight into the ground than when you're consistently elevating the baseball. But Kirk is one of those guys that can continue to pop next year. And if you kind of, even if he repeats what he did last year, he's going to be right back where he is on the list this year. I imagine the base running, you know, negative 7.1 BSR. I think he's going to be a little bit better than that. I mean, that's one of the worst marks in the league. I think you could just naturally expect a player to go from one of the worst base runners to, you know, below average, but maybe not that bad. And ultimately, worst case scenario, he's still going to be a really good defender and the offense takes a step back. Best case scenario, this dude's, you know, fighting for the top catcher spot in Major League Baseball.
And James, what do you think about Kirk's outlook for the 2023 season?
I mean, great hitter, right? And we kind of know that over the course of his career as a 124 WRC plus last year, he had 129. But last year, like we said, the defensive improvement is really what put him up this high on the list for me. You know, he had a pretty poor second half, if I remember correctly, last year after a massive first half, right? You know, the OBP is great. He's on base all the time. He's not your traditional catcher where, you know, you kind of feel like, or he doesn't play like he looks like he'd play, if that makes sense. He doesn't hit a lot of home runs. He walks a ton. He never strikes out. Like, he doesn't look like that type of player, but he is. He's a leadoff hitter in a cleanup hitter's body. And I think that really kind of bodes well for him, especially at the catcher position.
All right. Let's move on to number four here. We have Los Angeles Dodgers catcher Will Smith. Smith's been in the league since 2019. He's just only produced since he's been up. Career 132 WRC plus. Last season, 127 WRC plus, 3.9 F4 in 137 games. Now, you know you're in it with Smith. He's pretty durable. You know, 130 and 137 games back to back in multiple seasons for catchers is pretty good. He's getting you that 130 WRC plus range. Deemer has him at 129. Defense isn't his strong suit, but he's not bad by any means. He's going to play good defense behind the plate, which is, you know, obviously boosted by the positional adjustment for his WAR. But he's quite good behind the plate. Really not a lot to dislike about Will Smith. He's just all around a really, really good player, very athletic. You know, which is kind of a change of pace from some other catchers. So, Ryan, what do you think about Will Smith's outlook for the 2023 season? And do you think that maybe his defense could go back to his 2021 form, which was pretty much borderline elite relative to 2022, which was it was definitely above average, not that great.
Yeah, so as you mentioned with the defense, that's kind of the variable here, right? If he's an elite defender, then there's no doubt about it. Then he can go out and lead all catchers in WAR and, you know, be at the top of catching lists and whatever it may be. But the defense is a little bit of a variable here. And when we're talking about the best of the best of the position, little things like that are going to go a long way. Will Smith, as you mentioned, is a consistently elite offensive catcher, and that's really hard to find in baseball. And we talked about Wilson Contreras, but Will Smith takes that to a whole nother level. He's a career 130 WRC plus hitter. He absolutely mashes the baseball. He pulls the ball in the air. He doesn't strike out a lot. He walks a ton. You know, he's kind of, if you hit him third, if you kind of close your eyes, look at his offensive numbers and said, hey, that's a first baseman for a Major League Baseball team, say those are pretty good offensive numbers for a first baseman. You add on, you know, being an above average defender at the catching position. Not only is he, you know, one of the best catchers in baseball, he's one of the best position players in baseball. So we're kind of in that tier of guys who will you know, consistently rank as superstars or star level players in this league. And Will Smith definitely continues to be one of the best hitters behind the dish. It's just a matter of, as you mentioned, whether he'll be a good defender or an elite defender.
And James,
I think it really does seem low looking at it right now to have Will Smith at four, right? We kind of expected him to become the, you know, one of the premier catchers in the league. Not to say that, you know, he's not, but being at the, you know, the number four spot on our list seems like somewhat of a disappointment, especially coming off of last year where I think he was kind of the consensus number two, number three. You know, obviously a guy who didn't make our list, made mine, but I don't think made either of yours, is Yasmani Grandal. I think, you know, when we were looking at last year, it was kind of Grandal, Realmuto, and Smith, right, as those top three. You know, Smith had a good year, 130 WRC plus, 4 WAR. And, you know, if that's what you're getting from him, that's great. But I also feel like there's some potential here that he should be able to tap into that would make him a little bit better, and I really hope we can see that this year.
All right, coming in number three, we all I am top three. I'm not sure if you guys had, but Sean Murphy of the, you know, now Atlanta Braves. What separated Murphy and I had Smith. Actually, that's a lie. I had Smith at three. I had Ramy two behind, but with Murphy for me, what I really like about him, he's going to play elite defense, and I really think that 122 WRC plus bat is pretty sustainable. I mean, Steamer has him at 112, you know, but he hits the ball well. I believe his spray charts are really good. 5-win season last year. Plays, like I said, great defense. He was really good behind the, you know, offensively last season. Doesn't strike out that much. Walks to pretty much above league average clip. There's really not a lot to dislike about Sean Murphy. I think he does everything well, really. Nothing, there's really nothing badly. And you know, I think his defensive success, you know, from 2021 carried into 2022. Obviously, new winning environment. Maybe they'll, you know, obviously you can't really get inside the head of the player, but maybe they'll help him get even better, be more motivated. But Ryan, what do you think about Murphy's outlook for 2023? And where did you have him on your list? I forgot.
Yeah, so for Sean Murphy, I had him in my top three. I think Sean Murphy, I had him exactly third. Sean Murphy is, as you mentioned, elite defender. The bat is, I mean, because career 116 WRC plus hitter projections kind of have him to be in line with that. He's going to be one of the best defensive players in baseball every single year. I like that his strikeout rate came down a little bit last year. That usually bodes well for your ability to have more balls in play, which will in turn help things like your average and OBP. You know, going from a ballpark like Oakland to a ballpark like Atlanta, he is a road warrior. He is someone who hit a lot better away from Oakland than he did you know, at Oakland. I think a lot of that has to do with how that ballpark plays, and it's very much not home run friendly. Sean Murphy is a guy who, surprisingly, like, I didn't look know this going into the offseason, but when I did a deep dive on him back with Empire Sports Media, kind of talking about how he would fit the Yankees, you know, he hasn't had a single year with 20 home runs or more. He hasn't had that like crazy power output year yet. And Atlanta seems like a spot he can go out and do that, especially with a little more of a favorable ballpark situation. So I'm very excited to see how he plays there. I think Sean Murphy is kind of like, Sean Murphy and Will Smith are interesting because I think they've been compared to each other in their entire careers, you know, and for now, at least, I think Sean Murphy has the edge, though that can change at any given point in time.
And James.
I was impressed by Murphy's ability to, first of all, he played 148 games last year, which you normally don't see out of a catcher. Obviously, 30 of those were played at DH, as it, you know, like you kind of expect for a guy who's playing that many games at the catcher position. But 5.1 WAR is kind of remarkable coming from, you know, a guy who could never seem to put it all together until last year. Definitely the best season of his career, boosted his trade value, got him out of Oakland, and then he signed his life away for a contract that makes really no sense to anyone. 6 years, $73 million. The only person this makes sense for is Alex Anthopoulos and the Atlanta Braves organization. They've done it again. But, you know, I mean, there's not much to say about Murphy. He does everything well. He hits well. He runs well. And he defends well. And that's kind of all you can ask for out of a catcher. And which is why he's ranked at number three behind two of the best players in baseball.
All right, number two, we have Philadelphia Phillies catcher JT Realmuto. Now, this is a guy, 6.5 F4 last season. Perhaps I underrated him a bit personally, but you know, he's great. He does everything well. You know, hits really well, plays really good defense, runs the bases really well. One of the better all-around players in the game. I think people took me putting him at four as a slight to him, and I just don't really believe in his bat quite the same as other people do. The defense is going to be there. I also believe in, you know, Will Smith is kind of coming back as a better defender. But yeah, does everything well. Offense, you know, production, you know, maybe outperformed that 128 WRC plus a bit, but or overperformed rather. But, you know, he's still a fantastic player. You know, nothing to really dislike about him. Ryan, do you think Realmuto's 128 WRC plus is sustainable for the next season? And do you think that, you know, like, we're all right, just what is your season outlook on Realmuto?
Yeah, so I put JVT Realmuto too. And quite frankly, I don't think the 128 is going to happen again, but that's fine. You know, here's the thing. Fast players age better than slower players. And JT Realmuto is ridiculously fast. So, you know, I think a lot of people had this misconception that, like, a guy like JT Realmuto is kind of going to break down because, you know, he's fast, his game is reliant on, you know, blah, 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 base running, whatever. He's a fast player. So fast players, they're better athletes. They age better, right? So JT Realmuto has showed that he's going to remain age. He's aged beautifully into his 30s. You know, even his down year in 2021, he was a 4.5 WAR player. He's just such a good defensive catcher that, quite frankly, if he has a 112 WRC plus next year, like Steamer says, and the Bad X actually really likes him, they have him at a 121. So, you know, that isn't a bad range to be in at all when you're that good of a defender and that good of a base runner, right? You know, quite frankly, if he goes out there and he has a 112 WRC plus, he's still going to be an above 4 WAR player. He plays so much. He's a volume guy. He's a guy who hits for well above average. You know, he's a guy who's going to be a great base runner. He's going to be an elite defender. Quite frankly, I think we're close. He's closer to He's not like I didn't have him one, but I do think without the existence of Adley Rutschman, I'd be sitting here raving more about JT Realmuto because he is quite frankly an incredible player. I know you said you didn't mean to slight him by having him at four, but quite frankly, there's just not a world, in my opinion, there's just not a world where Sean Murphy or Will Smith can afford to have a WRC plus, you know, 12 points lower than last year's and remain, you know, a top two catcher in the sport. JT Realmuto can kind of sleepwalk his way to three wins above replacement. And that's because he's just so good at everything related to baseball. There's not really something he does poorly. And whether that base running maintains as high as it does, I do think we'll see regression in that regard. I mean, projections love him. You know, recent success loves him. You know, the aging curves for him, the aging trends for guys with his sprint speed love him. So it's kind of hard for me to sit here and discredit anything he's done. Or I'm not saying you've discredited it, but in a sense, kind of detract from what has been an amazing 2022 season. And we've kind of seen what his floor kind of looks like. And 2021 was still excellent for him.
All right, James, what do you think about Realmuto?
I think he has, I mean, like he's been the most consistent catcher in baseball over the past, what, 6-7 years at this point. He had the best year of his career last year, 6.5 war. Obviously, great defender, always has been. A plus base runner, which you normally don't see out of the catcher position, and that's, I think, what kind of differentiates him from all the guys below him. He, you know, he has a similar offensive, you know, number with a 128 WRC plus and 22 homers, you know, 276, 342, 478 slash line. He's a great player. He's going into his age 32 season, so maybe we'll start to see somewhat of a decline. But I think he's kind of a shoe-in for another 5-win season next year. Just so long as he stays healthy. He's a great catcher, perfect one for Philadelphia. And he most of the time would be number one, but obviously we all know who is.
Yes. Coming at number one, we have Baltimore Orioles catcher already, Adley Rutschman. Now people will say, he hasn't played a full season. Like who cares? Who gives a shit? This guy, 133 WRC plus last season, 5.3 F war in 470 plate appearances. That's 113 games. And that was after a really slow start. He really came on. He runs the bases exceptionally well. He's an elite defender. He's, in my opinion, can be better than this 133 WRC plus. Steamer has him at 130, but I could honestly see him eclipsing 140. Like, he's that good of a player, and he's only 24. Like, he's only going to get better. He's just so good all around. He's a generational talent. I had him at 25 my overall players, and that's, you know, for someone who has catchers like kind of lower, relatively speaking, that's really, I would say, pretty high. And maybe that's even low for him. I think he'll maybe end up finishing in the top 10 in F4 next season amongst position players. Like, who knows? He's that good. Nothing would surprise me, this guy. And you know, as a Yankee fan, it's tough to see him with the Orioles, but yeah, he's one of my favorite players already, and I'm excited to watch him for another season. Ryan, what do you think about Rutschman's 2023 outlook? And where do you think his, you know, hitting true talent is really?
Yeah, Adley Rutschman, you hit the nail on the head, man. I mean, how many? I can't stand people who want to sit back and be patient with Adley Rutschman. You're just gonna be wrong, right? The guy already, you know, he barely strikes out more than he walks. He doesn't chase. He doesn't whiff. He hits the ball incredibly hard. He barrels the ball pretty decently. Like, I mean, this is a remarkable baseball talent here. This is a guy who is incredible at what he does. And that's not even mentioning the fact that he's an absolutely phenomenal defender. This is one of the best defensive catchers in baseball. We're taking elite defense and not just elite offense, arguably the best offense at the position. And we've combined them together. This is a guy who is, you know, when we think of top 10 players who have played the catcher position, you know, top 10 players at any given point in time, right? You know, even Yasmani Grandal, who I know, as James mentioned, you know, kind of fell off a lot this year. But even at his peaks, you know, would you say he was a consensus top 10 player? And his peaks are really damn good. I don't know if you'd say he's consensus at that point in time. You know, Buster Posey is kind of the last time we've seen a guy be a consensus top 10 player and be at the catcher position, right? Over extended period of time, not in just any given season. I mean, like over...
Yeah, Posey was like top 10 for quite a while.
Yeah, Posey was obviously on another level. Like, probably one we haven't seen since, I don't know, Johnny Bench.
Like, dude, Adley Rutschman's projected to be the sixth best player in baseball next year. I don't think people realize this. Like, obviously, like Trout's going to be better than him, and they, for some reason, they have him below, and you know, that's a different list for a different time. But quite frankly, I mean, there's no sign that kind of indicates towards Adley Rutschman can't be one of the 20 or maybe even the 10 best players in all of baseball. We don't see a catching prospect come like this very often. We don't see a talent come like this very often. And we might be looking at like the next Buster Posey, if you get what I'm saying. which is that's generational talent right there. And he is a generational talent. I can't say enough good things about Adley, and Jack kind of covered all the bases for me there.
I agree. James, what do you think about Adley?
I think that a lot of people want to be slow with prospects, and I'm definitely one of them. I think that a lot of people are, especially you, Jack, are very very quick to, you know, just assume that a guy, because he's good in the minors, will be good in the majors. But we've seen with Adley, you know, over an extended period of time, 113 games last year in the major leagues, he had a 5-1 season, 113 games. This is a guy who we kind of like. There's a difference between a prospect we know about and a prospect we don't know about. Adley Rutschman is a prospect we know about, right? We know that he can sustain success at the major league level. I don't think catcher's had a 10-win season since Posey. I think it's not even possible. I think it's probable that Rutschman has one at some point in his career. I think, you know, it's possible he has one next year. I think Adley's going to kind of next year really burst into superstardom, right? And have a good enough year where people are talking about him as a consensus top 10 player by the end of the year. And maybe that's, you know, wishful thinking, but I don't really think it is. If he can play 150 games, I would be shocked if he has anything lower than 7 WAR.
All right. I think we're all kind of in agreement here. I mean, look, our lists are not that far up, but again, catcher is kind of a crapshoot to begin with. I think I'm personally happy how my list came out. I think this is a pretty good list as well.
Yeah, other than the fact that you had Realmuto at 4, I think that's ridiculously low. But
all right, anything else you guys want to add before we end it here?
I guess I wanted to add, just like when we're talking about these lists, you know, there are a couple. I know that James mentioned Grandal. I think Grandal might have like the largest distribution of results. Like I could see him go out, have like an AWRC plus, a mediocre different defense, and kind of fall out of the league. And I could also see him completely bounce back and be like a 120 WRC plus hitter again with pretty good defense. I would say he would have been an honorable mention on my list. I don't think it's fair to go a catching episode without mentioning Grandal, but I think we can kind of agree here that it's also kind of last year was so bad. It was just so bad that it's kind of jarring. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't like mediocre was bad.
Season. He was not very good defensively. He's just abysmal offensively. He didn't hit the ball at all. Like there's really no redeeming quality for Grandal, which is why I had to leave him off the top 10. But look, he could end up bouncing back, be, you know, one again. Like I wouldn't be that surprised. I'd be a little surprised, but like
one is a stretch. Maybe, but two. I definitely think
like in that top, you know what I'm saying? Like it's not like he was so good for an extended period of time and pretty clearly the top catcher for like a few years running straight, just, you know, really, really rough season last year for whatever reason. And hopefully he can get back to what he was doing, but he's getting older, so I kind of question that, which is why I left him in my top 10.
Yeah, I mean, I had Grandal in my top 10. I had him at number 9. I think last year he had a really, really, really bad year, right? And we all know that 68 WRC plus, he had a negative F4. But I mean, it's just really hard to expect that from a guy who, for I would say almost a decade before that, was just kind of the model of consistency at the catcher position. Hopefully he can bounce back for his sake and for the White Sox sake. They need anything that can go their way at this point. But yeah, I think Rondell's probably a guy who will. I mean, obviously, it's hard to get worse than he was last year, right? But will he be top 10 next year? Who knows? It's definitely within the realm of possibilities, though.
All right. That's it for this episode of the Deep Red Yellow Field podcast. If you like what you saw, please give us a five-star rating on whatever platform you're listening to. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Deep Drive Pod. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Emily Nerds. Follow Ryan on Twitter at Ryan Garcia ESM. And follow James on Twitter at James Valentinas. It's been Deep Red Yellow Field. And we'll see you in episode number 78.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.